Let's take our Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I'd like to open this morning by sharing with you some news from the West. Last couple of weeks, Melina and Thomas and Linda and I were out visiting national parks out in Colorado and Utah, and it was just like being in the pioneer days. We were out in the land where there were no cell phones. We had no cell signal, and it was eerily quiet. I say it was the land of the pioneers, or just like the pioneer experience. We did have air conditioning. We did have running water. We did have indoor plumbing. So I guess it really wasn't like the land of in the day of the pioneers. We went out and were able to see some beautiful country. For those of you who've ever watched a Western on television or a movie, we were where a lot of those locations were filmed, just beautiful canyons. And seeing all of that area, we celebrated the way the cowboys did. We had hot dogs, Miss Patsy. One particular morning, we woke up and watched the sunrise in the Arches National Park, and we had a beautiful, beautiful view of that sunrise. And there, at a picnic area, we were cooking grits for breakfast, and Thomas happened to see someone walking by and said, "I bet you're seeing something you've never seen before, grits in Utah." And the two young men said, "No, we're from Atlanta, Georgia. We know what grits are." So the world got small again. And then we traveled around, and if you want to know what the West smells like, it smells like cow feeder lots. That is just a terribly, terribly strong smell of cows. It'll make you want a steak or at least go on to hot dogs all the time because it smelled so strong out there, but it was beautiful. Our trip got routed around because of an amazing snowstorm. When we were in Utah, the weather was 95 degrees. We drove an hour into Colorado, and they were expecting a foot of snow where we were headed, and so we had to travel down south. It stayed in the 50s for the remainder of our time in Colorado, and then we came back through rainy weather. I understand it was warm here, and it was something else to get back to hearing the news of what's going on in the world. And this week, I'm sure you all heard about the terrible, terrible tragedy out at that elementary school in Texas. And I was overwhelmed. We were captivated by that story, which was supposed to be the end of the school year, the last day of school for those students. There were still some activities that were planned, and that was all senselessly brought to a close by a cowardly act, by a real total loser who lost his life for his extremely, extremely harmful decision. And I heard about that. That was the backdrop to our time away. It was so wonderful not to hear anything, and then when we finally do hear what's going on in the world, it was just terribly heartbreaking to watch that tragedy unfold. And it had a way of robbing the joy. That's what I want to talk to you this morning, is how we lose our joy, but how we find our joy. I'm not trying to suggest that my joy is more important than that circumstance that happened earlier in the week. But circumstances like that, terrible news, tragedy, has a way of robbing our joy. And I want to look at the scriptures this morning to see how we reclaim what has been lost, if indeed it has been lost. But it's my point this morning that once you've seen Jesus, once you've experienced Jesus, joy lasts, thrives, and endures. We were driving through Oklahoma, and I remember seeing a billboard outside of a church. "The world needs a church with guts." And I do believe that. But as I happened to think, my mind quickly clicked, and I thought, you know what? More than a world needing a church with guts, this world needs a church that's built solidly and holy on Jesus. And this morning, as we look at the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit that grow in us in our new life in Christ, we're going to look this morning at joy. But we all also are gathered here today, right here on the occasion of Memorial Day. And I say to you this morning, happy Memorial Day. But just like my introduction comments that I made about the tragedy on the backdrop of joy. You can't say Happy Memorial Day and it not sound rather strange, because Memorial Day is a happy day honoring a sad memorial. Every year, I'm grateful that we as a nation pause, or at least we should pause, to remember the ultimate sacrifice that were made by our servicemen, the lives that were lost. We celebrate our veterans in the fall, but here at the beginning of summer, we remember those who lost their lives in service for our country. Oftentimes, Memorial Day is marked as a day of celebration because we're off of work. It's the kickoff of the summer travel season, and it seems to be like summer and happy times are starting out. This weekend is the birth of that for the upcoming summer season. But it is a very sad reason when you think about the price that was paid. So here's how you and I have a happy Memorial Day. We need to remember to say thanks. We need to be appreciative. We need to celebrate the sacrifice without trampling or marring or without giving a wrong idea or concept of what this holiday is about. It's a very somber day and a very somber occasion. But those brave individuals who laid down their life did so for our freedom. And to celebrate, whether we have a hot dog or whether we just do something leisurely tomorrow, is a way that we can say thanks. But greater than that, I think we need to take a moment to thank God for those sacrifices. And we're going to do that in just a moment. Another way that we remember Memorial Day and remember to say thanks is by saying thanks or by saying grace. We have a host of servicemen and women right now who are scattered around the world protecting our country. And we need to pray for protection, the Lord's protection on their lives. Not just their lives while they're out in harm's way, but the families that have been left behind while the loved ones are serving on our behalf. We need to pray for the health and the safety and security of the servicemen and women's families. We need to pray for protection. And we need to pray that Jesus' name would be magnified and glorified. Would you join me in a time of prayer right now as we say thanks and we say grace for those who lost their lives and those who are serving? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I come to you right now and I thank you so much for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Lord, I thank you also for the sacrifices that were made. I know that these young men and women throughout our nation's histories that paid that ultimate price enlisted knowing that was perhaps the price that might be paid, and yet they willingly served our country. Lord, I do not want to take lightly their sacrifices for us as freedoms. Here in America, Lord, it's apparent that we have our value system screwed up. There are issues that we face in our communities, in our states, and at the national level. And Lord, it's all the more relevant to us today to say that this world needs you. This world needs the gospel hope that's found only in Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice on our behalf. Lord, we lift up the servicemen and women who are around the world right now serving. And I pray, Lord, that next year at this time, that their names would not be remembered in a Memorial Day celebration because they lost their life, but they would be protected, that your watch care over them while they're in harm's way. And I pray also for the families, Lord, that have been displaced in this time. Lord, I pray for your protections. We see how quickly a senseless, a stupid, a foolish and a wicked act can take place and the harm that's done. And I pray, Lord, for your protection moment by moment for the families. Lord, I pray for my church family today and I lift them up to you and I ask, Lord Jesus, that in everything that we say and do, your name would be magnified and glorified. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to remember the sacrifice. We ask these things in your name. For Memorial Day, we are sad for the price, but happily each and every one of us must do our part. As we start this morning looking at the fruits of the spirits, I'm going to invite you to look with me in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23 as we read the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When you and I trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior, He gives us a new heart. And there is now a new pattern that our lives should follow. Not the way we used to live, a life apart from God, but grounded wholly in His Word. And you and I live and thrive in this new life that we have in Christ. And sometimes life, the old life, has a way of weighing us down and causing us to forget all of the joy that we have in Jesus. And so for the next few moments this morning, I would like us to look at the joy that we have in Jesus. And our point is this: joy multiplies when Jesus is deeply planted inside. As we look to this fruit of the Spirit of joy, I hope that this morning you leave with renewed joy, deeper joy in Jesus. First, I'd like to say that when we consider our joy, a lot of times we try to find things in this world that bring us joy. Sometimes we place that in objects. And I will tell you, the only thing that I know about objects is they bring frustrations and they increase your steps. Did you see how many times I walked down and back and forth at the beginning of the auditorium? Came in yesterday and did some work here in the room to get ready for today. Thought I had it all licked. But Jeff sent me a message last week and said the devil really was working overtime. And I think he came back again this morning. And if I look to broken objects, it will break my joy if they're built on objects. Objects don't bring us happiness. They certainly distract us for a moment, but they cannot bring lasting, permanent joy that only Jesus brings. So first, I want to say this morning that our joy is sourced in Jesus, our Savior. It takes every one of us just a second to recall John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the formula for joy is right there in John 3:16. Tells us a lot about what God did for us, who He sent, and how that you and I have everlasting life through faith in Jesus. Once we have trusted in Jesus, I'm going to take a few moments here to have you fill in the blanks with me as we take a moment to be grateful for what we can be truly joyful about. By the way, I think it would be helpful that whenever I say the word joy, we sometimes put that component of happiness in there. And happiness and joy sometimes are used as synonyms, but the joy that we have in Jesus is greater than happiness. Because I do realize that sometimes our hearts get heavy. Sometimes news overwhelms us, a diagnosis sets us back, or a tragedy rises up in our life, and momentarily our happiness leaves the room. But when you and I have a healthy perspective of who we are in Christ, our joy lasts. And in fact, this morning, I believe it's possible to be sad in your joy, but I want to caution you, if you're only sad without joy, you've missed the fullness that exists in Jesus. We're going to talk about how you get that back. So this morning, as we start with this question or this statement, in Christ I am, I'd like us to look and see this morning that in Jesus we are delivered. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, Paul writes, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever." And if you and I have anything to be joyful about this morning? It's certainly sourced in Jesus that you and I have been delivered from the evil of this world. We've been taken into the arms of Jesus, purchased by the sacrifice of his body on that old rugged cross of Calvary. And you and I have something to be joyful about. It's that you and I have a new status. We are now delivered from the evil of this world. We are free from the curse. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hanged on a tree. You and I have a joy that's built on Jesus because he laid down his life and took our place. And you and I will not face that judgment because Jesus paid the price. And as a believer in Jesus, we've been delivered and we've been freed from that curse. Paul continues in Galatians chapter 3 that we are justified. In Christ, I am justified. Galatians 3, 23 through 26. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which we should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us under Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all children of God by faith in Jesus. We've been delivered. We've been set free. And you and I are now part of the family. In Christ, I am family. Galatians 4, verse 3 through 7. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has set forth the Spirit of his Son in your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a servant, then an heir of God through Christ. Don't take lightly our status in Jesus. To be a child of God is to be an heir of Christ. And you and I have hope and joy in this life when it's built on Jesus because of who he is and what he did. He frees us from sin, Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled with the yoke of bondage. Jesus saves us not just to redeem us and leave us sitting on a shelf, but he leads us by his Holy Spirit. And in Christ, I am led by the Spirit. Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Great part of being a Christian is living and serving Jesus day by day. We don't do that in our own strength. We do it led by the Spirit. And I'm grateful for those moments in our life when we really do mess up and bungle up. When you and I stumble in sin, the Holy Spirit corrects us, convicts us, and calls us back. And as a follower of Jesus, we do not wander around aimlessly, but we have the Holy Spirit leading us in our day by day lives. And we see in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, in Christ I am free to serve. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. There is a summary of Galatians chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 of what you and I have in Christ. Why it is that our joy lasts when it's sourced in our Savior. And that's enough to shout and rejoice about. And I wonder sometimes if your joy gets tarnished or your joy begins to wane, it's most likely that you've forgotten who you are in Christ that leads to that breakdown in joy. Christians should not be people who look like they live their life sucking on lemons, but a people who have this reclaimed joy that was given to us by Jesus, built on Jesus. And this morning, if your joy is fleeting, I want you to ask another question. What am I doing in the name of Jesus? Because our joy that's built on Jesus, it thrives and it lasts. And there is no greater way to express that joy than to sharing it with another through our service. When you and I put our faith and trust in God, in Jesus, our Savior, we have this new relationship. We know who God is and what He did, and we understand the gospel. We understand the message of the gospel. It's coming to terms with the reality of who Jesus is and what He did and who we are and why we need Him to pay that price, because no one else could. The message of the gospel is the uniqueness of Jesus' sacrifice. He's the only way, the truth, and the life. There's no part of hope apart from Jesus. And knowing God brings joy in our life because we see the extravagant price that God paid to purchase our redemption. And after we come to faith in Jesus, we abide in Jesus, His words. We live and dwell in Jesus. The things we used to do, we don't do them anymore. We are now set free and we are alive in Christ. The normal Christian life is not a life that's modeled by defeat, but a life that's demonstrated by joy. And how do we demonstrate that joy? When you and I are filled with the Spirit. When you and I come to faith in Christ, we receive that Holy Spirit inside of us, living and leading us. Sometimes we bring sin into our life, and it's not that the Holy Spirit's drove out of our hearts, but that sometimes our actions, the sin that we bring into our life, brings a coolness to our relationship. Not God's problem, our problem. We wandered away. It's why it's important for us as believers to know God, to dwell in Jesus, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit, making sure that day by day and moment by moment, we are right and ready with the Lord. When you and I have our joy sourced in Jesus, the world can't take that away. And when you and I share our joy through service, I want to demonstrate who it is actually that you serve. You and I serve Jesus. We don't serve ourselves. And I think serving ourselves sometimes brings us joy. You know, there's a fast food chain that wants us to have it our way. This morning at church, I want you to know Jesus wants to have it His way. You and I, in John chapter 15, verses 10 and 11, see the words of Jesus as He says, "If you keep My commandments, ye shall abide in My love, even as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Jesus wants us to have a full joy. And this morning, if your joy is not full, I want to ask you, are you keeping His commandments? Are you where you need to be right with Him? You know, there is nothing ever as uncomfortable as having to face. I remember as a young man, when I would mess up and do something that my parents had told me not to do, when I would come around them, because I knew that had that guilt in my heart, that it was going to come out sooner than later. And it would be driven out of me through the seat of my pants back in the days before the Geneva Convention, when corporal punishment was allowed. And I remember thinking about when my relationship was broken with my mom and dad because of my transgression against what they had said and established for me as a boundary. When I crossed that, I didn't want to come around them. Jesus wants us to know how you and I have happiness and fullness, and that's by making sure that we follow Him and live in His boundaries, following Him, because we have full joy when we serve Jesus and not ourselves. And when you and I serve Jesus, as we saw during our first message in this series on love, Jesus leads us to love those He loves like He loves. Yes, Jesus loves me, but Jesus loves you. Understanding when Jesus laid down His life, how that you and I model Jesus when we put others before ourselves. Yes, we serve Jesus, but we serve Him by loving and serving others. I think if there's any parallel to make with Memorial Day this morning is that you and I enjoy the freedoms that were purchased by someone else, a soldier who laid down his life in the cause of battle. They may not have entered into that battle, and in that moment they stood up in front of a firing squad and took that bullet or experienced that bomb, but they went into that battle knowing the price and the cost, and they laid down their life fighting for your sake and for mine. So we can see the sacrifice that another makes so that another may thrive. And when you and I learn that we serve Jesus, it keeps a healthy perspective. I was amazed a few days ago as I came back into the news of the area and heard about a shooting just a few blocks down the road from the church by a young girl who was upset that someone had cut her off on the road and decided the way to take care of that was to shoot someone. Senseless. Thinking of themselves. Thinking of yourself does not bring you happiness. It brings you heartache and misery. Serving Jesus brings you joy. And when you and I serve Jesus, it allows us to love others the way He loves others. And we see that we need to serve others. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And the model that Jesus sets for us, the model that Paul calls us to, is to put others before ourselves. One of the fastest ways to hear babies whine down at the daycare is to tell somebody they can't be the line leader. Those kids will get so upset to think that they're just in the middle, because it's important to be at the back. And then I think we've got a generation of good Baptists coming up because they want to be in the back too. It's either the line leader or the caboose. They want to be one of those spots, but nothing in the middle. You and I, when we put others first, it gives us a sense of selflessness, takes us the focus off and the attention off of ourselves in learning to serve in others. And as I look around this room and I see my brothers and sisters in Christ who serve Jesus on this behalf day by day, whether through a card ministry or through visits or taking food or visiting with the folks in the community, we share the love of Jesus when we put others and the emphasis on others first. And in doing so, our joy is infectious and contagious, and it spreads to another when it's shared with another. Have you ever noticed that? When you do something for someone in the name of Jesus, that good feeling that you get inside. But it's not that we do it for that purpose. We do it for Jesus. That feeling of joy that we get is the benefit of serving Jesus. But it doesn't just stay there, because we make a difference in a big way or a small way in the lives of another when we share the joy of Jesus with them. I do believe there is joy in serving Jesus. So our joy is sourced in Jesus. Our joy is shared in our service. And now lastly, our joy is even sustained in our sadness. I spoke a few moments ago about the word happiness. We associate happiness with our joy. Happiness is an emotion that comes and goes. Joy is something that's constant there. In these next few moments, I'd like to help you reclaim your joy if you lost it. As we look at the scriptures, if we understand truly what the opposite of joy is. What would you say the opposite of joy is? Would you say sadness? I want to tell you, it's actually something far worse than just sadness. Sadness is another emotion. The opposite of joy is misery. That feeling of hopelessness. That everything is lost. Have you ever been around a person who says they're a follower of Jesus and they never have anything good to say? Sounds like following Jesus is a hardship and a travesty. And I want you to know that as we look at the Scriptures are plain and clear that you and I, as followers of Jesus, should expect hardships in our life. And hardships produce sadness. And if we focus on the hardship, that hardship can rob us and lead us to a place of misery. There is no faster way to lose your joy and to take up misery than to experience heartbreak in a broken relationship. When someone hurts you, it hurts. And when you focus on that hurt, your joy begins to dry up and you take on more and more misery. This world does not need a church full of miserable Christ-naming followers. This world needs a church that is full of followers of Jesus who are full of joy in Jesus. So I want to caution you this morning to go back and play back your words, to go and play back the emotions or what it is, how you express yourself to other people. And if your words overwhelmingly would be considered miserable, pretty wretched, you need to make sure that you stop and pause and reclaim that joy that exists in Jesus. Because misery overtakes our joy through forgetfulness. When you forget about what Jesus is and what he's done, and we just took a few moments ago looking at all that we have in Christ from Galatians chapters 1 through 6, and that you and I have an opportunity moment by moment, day by day, to share and serve Jesus. And when we forget who Jesus is and what he's done in our life, and we forget to serve him, that joy fleets. And misery comes in because we forget. And after all, this is the weekend of remembering, remembrance. I'd like to take you a few moments now as we close to show you how you remember joy in your sadness. It's possible to have sadness, for when you and I experience loss, our hearts are troubled. We experience the heaviness of that sadness. But I believe that Christians, followers of Jesus, have in the bedrock of our faith a constant abiding joy that's not shaken by that sadness, that's not removed and replaced with misery. And you and I remember our joy in the midst of our sadness when you and I remember that there is purpose in the hardships that we face. We need to remember, as we look here in these next few moments, the purpose of our hardship, and we remember to rejoice during that hardship. So we look at Romans chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. Paul writes, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope, the glory of God." You and I can rejoice in the middle of our hardships, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in the hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. A few weeks ago, I left for vacation on the backdrop of a funeral service. That was how I left, thinking about the loss. And over the course of the next few weeks, Holy Spirit ministered to me, helping me to realize, you know, I can focus on the misery and the hardship, the loss, but knowing that there is a purpose. And that you and I, when we encounter tragedy, when we encounter difficulty, when we encounter hardship that's brought on by another person, sometimes we do so because of bad choices and consequences that we make, and that's just the natural price. Sometimes we endure hardship because we're doing the right thing, and that's persecution. And sometimes we suffer hardship, and we don't even know why it is that we're going through it. But the Scriptures are clear that God has a purpose. He is working to refine us, and the purpose is this: to fill us with patience and endurance and hope. While we may not always rejoice at trials and at difficulty, there is a purpose. And that's because God is growing us. Sometimes he uses difficulty to get us to that place where we can see how good he is. I wish that it were that God only used happy times and times of abundant blessing for us to rejoice in how great he is. But he is so great that he can even take our tragedies and our hardships and magnify our faith in him. If you're here this morning and your heart is heavy with sadness, remember there is a plan and there is a purpose in that hardship. And remember the importance of rejoicing in the middle of that hardship. How important it is to find that joy in the moment. If you don't, the misery creeps in. The joy fades. But by taking the opportunity to say, thank you, Jesus, for this hardship. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the lesson that you're teaching. And when the nation crumbles because of senseless acts of wickedness, you and I do not lose our joy. Because remember, our joy is sourced in Jesus. And our joy is shared in serving. And that our joy is sustained in sadness when we remember that this is not the end. When you and I realize that there is a greater purpose, that Jesus is working in our hearts and our lives, preparing us for that moment that we stand face to face with him. And if you and I think about the hardship and just focus on this one aspect, this one moment in time, we lose the eternal perspective. But in serving Jesus, we know that this life may not be easy for us, but this present life is not the end. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And if you think that this world is crumbling apart and all hell is breaking loose, please know that we serve a risen Savior who's coming again. And until that day when this world knows the peace and happiness of Jesus, you and I possess that joy right here and right now. Because remember, our joy is sourced in Jesus. And our joy is shared in serving. And that our joy is sustained in sadness. And I'd like to end up with how you and I do that day by day and moment by moment. How is that you and I remember Jesus? At the beginning of the service, Brother Clifton passed around two cups, actually. One was a cup with juice and one was a cup with bread. The bread's on the bottom. We are going to look at the sacrifice that Jesus paid this morning as a memorial unto the purchase that he paid for us. The gift of joy that we have this morning in receiving the bread and the juice, which signifies the body and the blood of our Savior. I invite you at this time to take that little cup with the wafer of bread in it. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you." Let us take a moment to give thanks, to say grace for the body that was broken for us. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you now. We thank you so much for your practice of working joy in our lives through hardships. And Lord, you demonstrate for us that there was no price too great to keep you from coming to redeem us, to set us free, to make us heirs and sons. And that, Lord, in you our joy is full. And you used your sacrifice of your body to show us how far you were willing to go to purchase that price. Well, Lord, this morning I say thank you for that sacrifice. And I pray grace upon our lives in the days ahead of this week. Lord, as we remembered our soldiers who were lost in battle in the line of service, I pray, Father, for your grace over my church family this morning as we receive this piece of bread that signifies the body that was broken for us. I pray, Lord, for your grace over us the course of the week, that we would remember the importance of serving you our joy is built in you, the opportunity we have to serve you, and Lord, that even sadness can coexist with our happiness, but Lord, our joy overwhelming, lead us moment by moment. This little piece of bread that we're about to take reminds us of the sacrifice that you made. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me," in remembrance of him. And after the same manner, he also took the cup and supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." If you and I consider the sacrifice that was made, we also have his blood as the promise, the guarantee of what we have in him. And if there's any way to have joy in Jesus this morning, it's remembering the sacrifice of his body and his blood that was shed for us. Let's go to him in prayer again and thank him for the promise in his blood. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning for our joy as we remember you and your sacrifice. And Lord, we know that we serve a risen Savior because that tomb is empty. And the promise that's in your blood that you shed for us, that our redemption price had been paid, our forgiveness of sins has been paid in full, and that we as believers have eternal life in you. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for this memorial of joy that we take this morning. And the backdrop of sadness, your hardship for our joy. Oh, Lord, we don't deserve it, but you paid that price. And so, Lord, we say to you, thank you. As we remember your promise, this provided in your blood, we ask these things in your name. Amen. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, in remembrance of him. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. What a way to find happiness this morning. Happiness isn't an object. It's not a place. He's a person, and his name is Jesus. And our joy is Jesus-centered. Scriptures are clear of that. So our response this morning. Remember that point that we made at the beginning of the hour? Joy multiplies when Jesus is deeply planted inside. If you find yourself overwhelmed or miserable this morning, you know the answer and you know the remedy. Come to Jesus. If you find yourself overwhelmed this morning in the midst of a trial or a tragedy, remember that there is a point and that you need to be rejoicing in the midst of that trial because God is working a greater purpose and that this is not the end. And when you and I see Jesus, our joy is multiplied. And when you and I share Jesus, our joy is multiplied. And even our sadness cannot take away our joy when Jesus is our joy. The formula is quite simple. Joy comes through yielding to Jesus. If you find yourself away from him, come to him. If you find yourself moving away from him, come back to him. Our joy stays fresh in a heart that serves. And if you're unhappy or you're feeling miserable, ask yourselves, when the last time I did something for someone in the name of Jesus? Jesus told his followers that even the one who gives a cup of cold water in his disciples' name has done it unto him. And that you and I, even through simple acts, small acts, can make a statement and a testimony for Jesus. And even making a statement and a testimony for Jesus is a way of serving Jesus. You and I have so many opportunities each day to either find our joy shared or to find our joy eroding. May you and I stay serving Jesus to keep his joy fresh in our heart. And remember, joy is best shared. Our prayer is this, Lord, keep me happily centered in your joy.